years old, and have lived here ever since. And that runs into a lot of years. And most of the places are about as they were then, but most of the businesses, the little country businesses, are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
At one time we had two blacksmith shops and a drugstore and a hardware store and two groceries and a milliner's shop and a dressmaker's shop and a cheese factory and sawmill and two hotels and one of the big hotels that we called it big in those days was where the post office now stands.
Oh yes.
And that was the old-fashioned kind that had a huge big ballroom up overhead.
Uh-huh.
And banquet room like in the end, and that's where we used to hold the old big dances parties. And in the winter a man would come here and give dancing lessons. So that, and my husband and I, well, we were in a little group that people around here, five or six of us, that established or made up a little orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And for our little neighborhood dances, we'd play for those orchestras just for free, just for the fun of it. And then later on, there was the Scar Lake Band. They had a local band here. And my father ran a horseshoeing and woodworking shop, and that's down where the old buildings stand empty next to second from Kelly's,
yes,
next to the little.
Me.
And my home was where the little, next to Kelly's, where the little ranch style house is.
Oh, yes.
It was a great big old fashioned house, and that's where I lived until I was married. And my father at that time ran the shop, and then my husband took over when my father retired, and he went into the horseshoeing was getting out of date, and he went into the farm machinery business. He was agent for the International Harvester Company,
yes,
and then
right.
He had a small, on this end was a small farm hardware, and now that's all gone and shot after my husband died. My son and I ran it just for a year or two, and then we disposed of it. And I guess most of all the business except the hotels, and we had a pool room here, and a little later on, a bank. And of course, the Masonic Lodge has been here for way over 100 years.
Mm-hmm. So the same really, building that's there
now? Well, no, that was burned down in about 1923. There was a big fire here, and that burned down, started over on that corner, and it burned down the drugstore and a dry goods store combined. And the Masonic building was so badly damaged they had to rebuild it, and there was a barber shop in there that was burned, and a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And that all went, and then was sort of, that's where the bank was rebuilt. And most of these houses, when I was young here, I tried to think if there were any rental properties. And I could only think of one. Everybody owned their home. A lot of retired people owned their own home and came to live in the village, farmers and like that, you know. And there was just one that, a son, people owned it, and their son and his wife rented it to live in, and there was no rental aside from that I could remember.
So they all owned their own homes? And,
yes. And at that time, I could go right up one street and down the other and name everybody, know everybody that lived there. Now I don't even know the names of half the people. They come and go, and they're rented, you know, and they're in and out and work somewhere else and just get an apartment or a place here. So that's changed that much. And
there's a lot of farming around Schuyler, like that.
Yes,
time.
It's definitely a farming community, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah.
And in fact, the first 5 years that I was married, my husband and I lived on his home farm about a mile out of the village.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd had all the farming he wanted, so we sold that and came into the village.
What were some of the things that they raised on the farms?
Generally, it's dairy farming. They'd have a good big dairy and produce the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a milk station down here that you took your milk to. Way back originally, there was a cheese factory. But when we were on the farm, they took in the milk down by the trolley station there,
mm-hmm.
and send it to the Dairymen's League, carried it. And the people with the dairies had to have, they raised their own hay and corn and oats and wheat and that sort of thing. And some went in little truck gardening like cabbages and mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. And then later on they began to get the silos and they would cut the corn, put in ensilage. And that's what ours was up there, was a dairy farm. We had the cows and worked the land. And
was there a creamery also with the cheese factory over in that section?
Well, way out there was a cheese factory, but the where we always sat, our milk always went at the time we were on the farm, was down here to where it was taken in and went by trolley, by car, to the mm-hmm. Dairymen's League milk company, and there it was made up into different products. But before I moved here, the cheese factory across down on the other street there had gone, the building was there, but it had gone. They tell me it was originally a tannery.
Oh.
And in the museum, in the Farmer's Museum at Cooperstown, there's a great big steer's hide that was dug up in the foundations of that building when it was torn down from the old tannery.
Oh, I'll have to take a look
and
at that.
And it has kept remarkably well. You can just see the markings on it and everything. It's just a big...
I'm really amazed at the number of businesses and,
yes,
and
you see,
stores that were here.
You had a complete existence here. There was no state roads or no automobiles or anything mm-hmm. at that. And you could just maintain, the village maintained itself, you see,
yeah.
Except I think at Christmas and like that, we went to Utica because the trolley was active then, the trolley cars, you know,
mm-hmm.
went up through here. And that was put in a little while after we moved here, and everybody would go on the trolley cars
yeah.
to Cooperstown or Oneonta or Utica, something to do their big trading, you know. And then that, of course, now it's all gone. And after we came to live here, that was 1923. A few years after that, they put in this state road. And then, of course, before that, it was mud this deep up all through the camps here. It was everybody... that is, a lot of the people had a horse, at least a driving horse, carriage horse, and,
yeah.
and would get around that way. And there used to be, without cars, you didn't get around for entertainment as much. You had little socials, you know, and
mm-hmm.
church socials and little house parties, you know, around different places. And then we, in those days, we skated and we'd get out on toboggan and ride down little steep hills, old big bobsleds, and then we skated up on the lake quite a little and get a group together and go up skating and go to somebody's house for
yeah.
hot oyster stew or something to eat.
Candiraga-like, is that?
Yes,
yeah.
up here.
Yeah.
And now it's snowmobile country.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Seen a lot of them. Mrs. Ferguson was telling me last night that she remembers them raising hops around this area.
Oh, this was considered the second largest in the... I don't know, but the United States, I had an article on that not very long ago. And I think out Madison Way, going toward Cortland,
mm-hmm.
there was a section there that was a few more hops raised than there was here. But I picked hops when I was in my early teens, you know, in school. That was a big kick. It was
mm-hmm.
a big yard over the other side of the lake, and then one up here on the corner, that was... And I picked in both places, and it was fun to get out and get in the group, and you had your meals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We went home to eat, or to sleep, but they fed you well, and you had lots of fun. I guess us younger ones really played around more than we picked, I don't know. But we'd pick all day on a box of hops and maybe get 50 cents for it, and they're bored, but it was fun.
There are a number of churches here, too, aren't there still?
Well, the old stone church, as that really is a landmark, I guess, historical. And then the Methodist church is next to the schoolhouse
yes.
up there. And then there was a Baptist church next to that, which was torn down. They kind of dissolved and they tore the building down.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me that this stone church was built originally for a united church. That is, different organizations, different
mm-hmm.
churches had different days or times that they held church
mm-hmm.
in there. And And now I guess they're struggling to keep going with all there.
Do they still have an active congregation in the Stone Church?
The Methodists do. They have a supply minister who comes here to preach, and Exeter Sender and West Exeter, three little small mm-hmm. country charges. And this big Stone Church over here, they only hold services in the summer. They start in the spring when they have Easter services and like mm-hmm. that. Then they go long through the summer, and they closed a week or so ago because they have a minister that supplies from generally Herkimer. And so they only go part-time, but they keep their organizations going, keep the church up beautifully, and they have the their officials, you know, mm-hmm. and their ladies' organizations, and they also own the place over next to the hotel. It's called Community Hall or whatever.
Right. Where we had the parish hall.
The parish hall. Yeah. That belongs with the church there. Mm-hmm. It was left to them, yeah. and they rent it out for some of the organization meetings or something like that.
Uh-huh. I understand they have kind of a museum upstairs there with...
In the church.
In the church.
Oh, yes, that's getting to be pretty interesting.
I'd like to go there.
Well, I'll tell you, the Helen Bolton, who substitutes in the post office a lot of the time, or Helen Shidzik.
Yes.
The one that has a speech defect.
Yes, I know.
She has the key to that, and she's always glad to have anyone go in there. And, of course, so when we started the Historical Association, we were all... very thrilled about getting together the, mm-hmm. The things from around here, you know, from way years back. And we had quite a good many at that time, old members who had been farmers or been in industries here. And so we just really, and there were two or three of the members that had really their own things that they had, collections that they had assembled, and they turned them over to the museum there, and it's really getting quite cramped. We've wondered what we could do with it when we, it's in a balcony in the back of the church, and it's getting quite full.
What kinds of things do you have up there?
Well, it, like pottery and fabrics and linens and lots of the smaller farm utensils mm-hmm. that would be used on a farm, and then it goes into old pictures and old dolls and old things that you use, like sewing kits mm-hmm. and there's some old albums and a few old letters and things that were went way back, you know, and a few I think there are two or three real old volumes, books on the early history of the section here mm-hmm. and just relics from the last 100 or so years.
Has anyone made any attempt to put them in any kind of order?
Yes. It's been, they're all marked, what they are and the approximate date, if they could find out the date, good. And who gave them. And then I think Mrs. Shidzik has made an index. She's kept the list and mm-hmm. indexed them so that she could know just who gave what and what it was supposed to be and all like yeah. that. It was, we didn't do that at first. It was quite a while. It just accumulated, you know,
yes.
and there wasn't any particular order to it. It was just put up there for safekeeping, and then we finally got at it and began to kind of organize it and get it classified and get it rearranged mm-hmm. and indexed. And so the last I knew, I haven't seen it for two or three years, but the last I knew it was in pretty good order.
Mm-hmm. Is there a group that takes care of those things, or may they meet every so often and...
No, any more than the Historical Association yeah. is the one that's responsible for it, and mm-hmm. we kind of see that it's safe and tended to. And if anyone has anything to give, to mm-hmm. donate, then we see that it's there and marked and established. I had two, three old things that I gave from here. And one friend who has now died, she was in not over antiques and historical things and things that come down in her family. And in fact, she has a number of things done in the Cooperstown Museum, mm-hmm. in the Historical
yes.
Museum.
Yeah.
Hand-loom linens and
yes.
handmade dolls yes. and a little old-fashioned handmade furniture, wooden furniture, I mean for dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And she had some things that she put in over here that had been in her own family for a long time. So that's, for a little village, we're quite proud to have it. We wish we had a better place to display it that would be more available, mm-hmm. but there's no way of leaving the church unlocked.
Right,
I mean, you
yeah.
couldn't, but Helen, I should say, does have a key, and she's always glad to mm-hmm.
we'll have to make
show anyone
some arrangements with her
go.
To see
yes,
that.
She'd be mm-hmm. glad to have you yeah. do it. We all would be glad.
This was an interview with Mrs. Edna Cushman of Schuyler Lake, New York, on December 4th, 1971.